This message was recorded live at Audacious Church, Manchester, United Kingdom.
We're kind of in the middle of a series, and we tend to preach series, we tend to talk series, Sunday in, Sunday out, so we can just kind of build from one week to the next week and help create a real good picture, a real good image of things. And this series is called Doxology, and in this series, we're really focusing on passages of Scripture that really give glory and honor to God. Doxa, meaning to give glory. And so really, in all of our lives, we all worship something. We worship sport, or we worship money, or we worship career, we maybe worship a spouse, children, and of course, we're in church, and so we're here to worship God. And so what we're doing is we're looking at the key verses of the Bible that really talk about how great God is and how wonderful God is. This morning, we kind of started a message. I started looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, and got stuck in the introduction and never really got past the introduction. And so tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish off the message that I started this morning. Now, next Sunday, when we go to four services, we have in the 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock, the brilliant Pastor Alan Davies with us. Alan is in, I hesitate to guess, I think he's in his late 60s, but he is youthful and vibrant. You are going to totally love this man of God as a Bible teacher. He is an incredible Bible teacher. He's going to be with us next weekend, 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. He leads Hope Church in Mid Wales, in Newtown, Mid Wales. What did I say? Oh, Hewitt, Alan Hewitt. I knew what I meant. So Alan Hewitt, who's Alan Davies? He's off Jonathan Creek. I don't think I'm thinking that. I genuinely don't think it. Oh, there you go. And so anyway, who's coming? Alan Hewitt, 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock, and you're going to love him. And then in the 2 o'clock and the 5:30, we have all the way from Hong Kong, from Sky City Church, we have Pastor Wayne Crook, one of my great friends. And every time I rode Motor Mongolia, places like that, and Wayne and I have been together. His church is on the second tallest building in Hong Kong, on the 87th story in the apex. This week he's been in Myanmar, and he's got amazing stories of God in moving in and through his life and his church. And he's going to be with us in the 2 o'clock, that's right, and the 5:30. Now listen, some Sundays from next week, some Sundays we're going to be looking at the same message all day through four services. And other times we're going to have different messages for different preachers for three services and then one service. Other times we're going to do two and two. So it's going to be different from week to week, but I guess you'll get your rhythm. You'll find that the place that's more comfortable for you, and that will be cool. This morning we started looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, and it's a beautiful passage of scripture. The Apostle Paul speaking, and he says these words. He says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray that you may be rooted and established in love, that together with all the Lord's holy people, you may have the power to grasp how high and long and wide and deep is the love of Christ. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." And really, we got stuck on that phrase this morning of being rooted and established in love. What we were saying this morning is this, is that your roots determine your revelation. Your foundation determines your fruit. Your planting determines your prophecy. You see, everything about your life really comes from what you are rooted in and what you are established in. We were saying that if you are rooted and established, you have your foundation in hurt, in pain, in bitterness, in anxiety, then everything that you see and everything you experience is kind of like that. You begin to expect cynicism. You begin to expect bitterness because you're planted in bitterness. You've ever met somebody who you spend a few moments with them and you begin to realize that their mouth is toxic. Something about the way they speak that afterwards you feel like going and having a shower because you just feel like something about their mouth or the way they were speaking just made you feel like going, oh, gee, I don't know what the point of living is. But there are other people who, when you speak to them, you kind of walk away thinking, I love being with that person. It's not so much what they said, it's how they said it. There was something about the foundation of that person's life. Do you know what I mean? There are people who kind of in the workplace where as they come walking towards you, you quickly look at your phone and pretend you're sending an email or something like that. Or others in Asda, you're walking down the aisle, you see somebody coming up the other way and you know what you're going to get because you know what the fruit of their life is. You know what their revelation of life is. You know what's going on. So you quickly turn your trolley around, hope they didn't see because we all kind of have roots in something. We're established in something. And you know what you're established in, you know what the roots of your life are because there's a habitual way of talking, there's a habitual way of thinking. If you keep saying, why does this keep happening to me? Then the reality is it's probably a good sign that your roots have been established in a certain area. And this morning we encouraged the church, we encouraged ourselves to, hey, let's be courageous. If in any area of our life we find that we're rooted and established in an area that we don't want to be in because we're bearing fruit in that area, let's do what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. Let's uproot out of bitterness. Let's uproot out of cynicism. Let's uproot out of that hurt and that pain and understand what Paul says. Now, here's what Paul says. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Notice what he's saying here. As a follower of Jesus, you are already rooted and established in God's love. Did you hear me? It's called antinomy. Antinomy, where two opposites can both be true. That as a follower of Jesus, you can be rooted and established in the love of God, whilst also being rooted and established in bitterness. You can be rooted and established in cynicism. You can be rooted and established in pain. So it's one foot in God and one foot in something else, and then you jump into the New Testament, and Jesus tells a parable of the sower and the seed. And he says this, there's nothing wrong with the seed, but for some of them, weeds grow up and choke the fruit of the seed. I'm here to let you know that it's one thing to be rooted and established in love, but if you're not careful, what you are rooted and established in the other foot can strangle the goodness that God is wanting to bring out of your life. He says that you being rooted and established in love may have the power together with all of the saints to grasp something about the love of God. This love that no man can truly understand and nobody can know how limitless and how big it is. He says here, my prayer is that you may be together, church, be able to grasp something of the love of God, how great and wonderful it is. You see, the greatest preacher, the greatest scholar of the Word of God today, he or she is only able to grasp just a finite part of the love of God. But when you put that person next to a Chip Kendall, who begins to share his revelation about the love of God, next to a Hannah Atkins, who begins to share her revelation, next to Kim Alexander, who shares her, before long, together, as we begin to say, well, my experience of the love of God is this, God has shown me this, God, it's like a diamond that has so many different facets that it doesn't matter what you've seen, and it doesn't really matter what you've seen, because the reality is this, is we see God's love from different places, different perspective, different states, and together, you just begin to talk. Listen, we could talk every Sunday of the year on some aspect of the love of God and not even come close. We could spend the next decade, we could spend the rest of our lives talking about the love of God. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may together with God's holy people be able to grasp something about the magnitude of God's love. How do you grasp something? Grasping the magnitude of the love of God. It's like catching water in your hand. How do you do that? How do you begin to define and begin to describe the indescribable God? How do you begin to define something that's indefinable? How do you describe something that's indescribable? Well, Paul has a go. I need the four folks to come and join me on stage here. He says this, I pray that together you would have the power to grasp several things, that you would grasp the width and the length and the height and the depth of the love of God, that you would have the capacity to know the magnitude, the wonder of God's love. You see, he says this, my prayer is that you would know how wide God's love is. Let me break that down and make it simple. Just flip that around for me, Frankie, that you would know that God's love is timeless. It is so wide. It is a timeless love. It is a love that doesn't come in and out of fashion. It's not a love that died some time ago or a love that will come in vogue at some point in the future. He says here, my prayer for you is that you would know that God's love is so wide that it is timeless. It encompasses every single person from ages past. It encompasses every single person from the future to come. It encompasses every single person here and right now, that you would know his love is a timeless love. His love is like outstretched open arms, and he says, I am going to wrap my arms around you from eternity to eternity for every person in the yesterday, the now, and the future. I wrap my arms. God is the God of love. His love is timeless. His love is timeless. It just stretches. It's like, I love this moment as a dad to young children. Well, when I'd be away, maybe I was in Australia and I would come home. My daughter used to break my heart. She used to break my heart. We used to live in a house, little semi-detached house in Sheffield. And whenever I was going away on a preaching trip overseas, we had a little red gate. There she is, little red gate. Remember the little red gate? Little red gate. And as I would leave, probably from the age of 2.5, she would go to the bottom of the path. And as I'd be driving off from my house to the airport, there I would see the little fingers and the little face of my baby girl over the gate, crying her eyes out. She said, Daddy, don't go. Like, it was bad. And I'd be devastated. I'd be getting on a plane devastated. I'd feel like the worst father in the world, flying for 24 hours. I feel really bad. I'm preaching, feeling really bad. The trouble is, a little bandit on the front row, as soon as I left, she was really happy, playing with the dolls and all that stuff. But the favorite thing coming home, especially in the airport, was this. As I'd come out into the waiting area, and there she would be in her little, probably in a little princess dress at the time, and she would see me from a distance. She'd go, Daddy! And she would run. And I just, you know what I'd do? I'd do this. Yeah, so good. That you may know. Yeah. It's so wide. It's timeless. His love stretches from eternity to eternity. Not only is it timeless, wide timeless, but it's also long, which means it's endless. Yeah. It's endless. The love of God is anchored in eternity to eternity. Yeah. It is absolutely endless. Yeah. It has no beginning. His love has no ending. His love, you see, he doesn't just love, he is love. And so he can't help but love. And because God has no beginning, middle, and end, because God always was, it teaches us that his love is timeless and his love is endless. It encompasses us from eternity past to eternity future. You are right now anchored right smack bang in the middle of his love. It makes no difference what you've done. You could be a Muppet of Muppets. You could be the sinner of sinners. You could be the worst people of worst people. Think about the worst person, multiply it by 100. And God says, you're still smack bang in the middle of my love, because his love for you is timeless and his love for you is endless. 17th century preacher, Church of England preacher, Augustus Toplady, how's that for a surname? He said this, things future, nor things that are now, not all things below or above can make his purpose forego or sever my soul from his love. Nothing you've done can separate you from his love. Nothing can wrench you away, because his love for you is endless. Or as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter
13 verse 5, I will never desert you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, because he prays that we would know that God's love is timeless and his love is endless. It's timeless and endless. He says, I also pray that you would know how high the love of God is. He's really helping us to understand that God's love is a limitless love. It doesn't matter how high, how big you think your problem is. His love is limitless. He says here that you would know how high, that you would know how high. Now watch this. You see, God's plan was always to rescue you from the fall. That was always his plan. So when we go back from chapter 3 of Ephesians, tonight's doxology, to chapter 2, it says this. I'm going to read you 10 verses. Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, Audacious Church, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Not just your sins, but your transgressions. It's a double whammy. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You see that? The kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The spirit, here's the thing about a spirit, you can't speak to a spirit. And I had to learn this a long time ago as a pastor, as a Christian leader, that you can't argue with the spirit. You can't. And sometimes we get drawn into debates on social media. We get drawn into debates that are live, but the Bible says there's a spirit that's at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of God's great love for us, he who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace, church, that you have been saved. Why is it that we sign the Dubs petition? Because by grace we've been saved. None of us deserve to sit here. None of us deserve to live in this nation. None of us deserve to be married to the amazing people we're married to. None of us. It's by grace, the Bible says, that you have been saved. It's all by grace. It only happens by grace. Look at this, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp, to know how wide, how long, how high, that it is limitless. Let's look at this verse again. And God raised us up, that you would know how the height of God's love. He has lifted you up. He's lifted you up. And because as a follower of Jesus, oh my goodness, because you're planted and rooted and established in love, the Bible says that you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Doesn't that change your perspective? Like, seriously, why the heck are we not forgiving easier? Well, listen, if you want to be a turkey, then hang around with the turkeys. But if you want to fly like an eagle, baby, then you've got to understand, seated with Christ in heavenly places. It doesn't mean, Justin, that we look down our nose. What it means is it changes our perspective. Because if you're rooted and established in bitterness, then by all means, carry unforgiveness. But you understand that his love is high, that I'm seated with Christ. He's lifted me up from death. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Everything's different. Nothing's the same. Because I'm seated with Jesus in heaven. You're worried about what? Come on, baby. You're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, the Bible says. That you would know how high his love is. It's so high that he came down so low to pick you up that you may be seated with him in heavenly places. This is antinomy. The antinomy that we're kind of right now, we're stuck in this body of death, Paul says. He calls your body, my body, the body of death. But we've already got one foot in eternity. Yeah. We've kind of got one foot on earth, and already we've got one foot in heaven, that you may know that his love is limitless. And then, the best we can offer in worship sometimes is this. Really? His love is timeless and endless and it's limitless. Well, Glenn, it's not my personality to shout and to clap and to jump. I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about where you're rooted and established. I'm not rooted and established in a personality type. I'm rooted and established in Jesus. I'm giving you ammunition. You know that, don't you? Now, next time you see a Christian believer kind of being negative or pessimistic or whatever, you know, kind of, you know, it looked like they've been sucking lemons for 100 years. You're getting ammunition. You kind of think, I wonder what they're rooted and established in, man. You understand? They're rooted and established in he loves you so much. I pray that you, together with all of God's people, may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, that it's timeless, it's endless, it's limitless, and it is bottomless. Better than the bottomless Coke that you get in America. Bottomless. This love has no bottom. It is a bottomless love. It is love without a bottom. It is love without a beginning. It is love without an end. It is love without walls. It is love without a roof. And it is love without a bottom. This love that is timeless, endless, limitless, it's bottomless. It's a bottomless kind of love. You say, well, Glenn, how bottomless is his love? Surely there's a bottom to his love. Surely that there's a level that I can get to that now I've just gone beyond the point of no return. There's got to be a bottom. Okay, here we go. David answers this for you. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heights of heaven, you are there. Even if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take on the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand, the hand of power, shall hold me. What's he saying there? He's saying, hey, the love of God, it's timeless, it's endless, it's limitless, it's bottomless. And when we read the Bible, the reason Jesus' genealogy is there is because Jesus' genealogy, let's face it, is full of bottom dwellers. I mean, Jesus got a messed up genealogy, baby. I mean, it is mess. It is, if you heard, I preached this at Christmas time. I ain't got enough time to go. I mean, there are some funky people in Jesus' genealogy. I mean, you reckon you got some weird ones in your family. Jesus' family, Matthew chapter 1, they are messed up. He's got people in there, and you read them in Matthew chapter 1, they're just names. But when you jump into the Old Testament and you read those names had stories, the reason they're there is so that you would know that his love is bottomless. How low can you go? Not so low that you can ever get to the bottom of his love. There's something about the love of God. Do you know why Jesus shares the story of the prodigal son? He tells the story, and the story for a Jewish crowd when it was told was so shocking because this good Jewish boy who took his dad's inheritance, squandered it on licentious living, I don't even know what that means, crazy living, the Bible says he ends up feeding pigs in a pigsty. Do you know how shocking that is to a Jew? Shocking that he would be there? And you can almost feel the angst and the emotion in the air when Jesus said to them, there was nothing worse really for a Jew than to in a pigsty longing to eat the pig's food. It was the worst of the worst. Think of the worst thing that anyone could ever say to you. That's how shocking it was. And yet in the parable, Jesus said that the Father saw the Son coming from a long way off. Of course, we know, don't we, that the parable was not really about the prodigal son. It was all about the Father's love, that you and I may know that the Father's love is timeless and endless, and His love is limitless. And the Bible says that His love is a bottomless kind of love. Just come down here and join me for a moment, will you guys? Because the reality is this, is that with God's love, it doesn't really matter where I go. It doesn't matter how far I go to this side of craziness. It doesn't really matter how far it goes to this side of bottomless, because the Bible really tells me that wherever I go and whatever I do and whatever I say, hey, and even if my son came home and said, I'm going to support United. Like, he may no longer live in my house, but the reality is this, is it makes no difference where you go or what you do. I am surrounded by a love that's timeless, endless. It's a limitless and it's a bottomless love that you may know. That you may know that this love is wide and long and high and deep. Are you ready for this? Get this. His love, everyone stand on your feet. His love surpasses. By sheer size, timeless, endless, limitless, and bottomless, every sad, dark moment of your life, His love has never failed and His love never will. It will carry you through to stand in the very presence of the Most High God. And I pray that you, Audacious Church, being rooted and established in a timeless, endless, bottomless, limitless love. It's so big, it surpasses every sad, every dark moment of your life, every time you failed, every time you tripped up, every time you wanted to judge somebody for what they were doing. You forgot that person is also smack bang in the middle of God's love. They may not be in the middle of His will, but they can't escape the middle of His love. Through sheer size, His love has never failed. His love never will. His love is the vehicle that will carry you through, because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, I want you to know, church, that when you are rooted and established in that kind of love, everything changes. Everything's different. It's just forgiveness for you is now not a struggle, it's a necessity. You just forgive. His love. Everything changes. The way you think about the house of God changes. We end up speaking a language that's forgotten in this day and age called honor. We honor. We honor each other. You honor me, I honor you. Honor. We honor our kings, our presidents, our queens. We honor the prime minister. We honor the mayor of the city. We're cautious with the words that we speak. We don't allow tirades of vile whatever come from our mouths. Everything's different. That I may know the magnitude of His love. Guys, you don't mess around with the girls because you're rooted and established in love. You start to treat that girl like a daughter of heaven. She's Jesus' daughter. How dare you? Rooted and established in love. Honor. Girls, you treat the boys with honor and respect of rooted and established in love. Because what you're rooted in determines your revelation. Determines what you see. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, Hey, listen, I don't know every single person who's in this service. I don't know people who are watching live online right now, but I do know this, that within the sound of my voice, there are probably people here. And you got the love of God wrong. You thought that the book was a book of rules and regulations because we preachers, we've messed up. Somehow we took the most amazing story, the most amazing good news, and we made it out to be about rules and regulations. But you know what? It's not about rules and regulations. It's about knowing Jesus, that you may know. You know, if somebody was to give you the most generous, crazy gift, how would that make you feel about them? You'd be like, are you kidding me? Like the time when Sophie and I moved to England 20 years ago and somebody gave us a brand new car. Had like 3,000 miles, maybe less on the clock, a Volkswagen Golf. And it was like, are you crazy? Justin sitting here on the second row. I remember my second Christmas in England. Justin, stand on the chair there. Justin, look how fit and healthy he looks. Look at you, mate. Justin gave us a Christmas present. This is before we had kids, I think. And he said, I've got you a chocolate cake for Christmas. And I think you just started work. I'm like, that's amazing. Thanks so much. And we took it home and we couldn't fit it in the fridge. Do you remember? We couldn't fit it in the fridge. So we put it near the fridge. Don't know how that worked, but we put it near the fridge. And came to Christmas Day. And on Christmas Day, and I said to Sophie and, you know, family and friends who were over, said, listen, we don't need dessert because Justin bought us a chocolate cake for Christmas. So we had our Christmas lunch. And then we got to the Christmas cake box and opening it, I was really disappointed because there wasn't a chocolate cake. He'd bought me a PlayStation. Now, I was a youth pastor. I was on a salary of about 4 pence and a lollipop stick every year. And this kid from our youth group who just got a job as a tradie, he bought us a PlayStation. And I spent all Christmas ignoring everybody. That was 18 years ago. 18 years ago. We're doing life together 18 years later. He's married a beautiful, beautiful lady. Batting way above your league there, man. Like, honestly, there's hope for every single boy out there. Beautiful kids. Do you know how big a soft spot I have in my heart for this kid over here? Kid, he's a man. And not because, just because of that, but I got to be honest, that gift, just every time I see him, is it every time I see you? We're hugging, high fives, I'm punching you, we're wrestling. That you may know the love so high, wide, long, deep.
This message was recorded live at Audacious Church, Manchester, United Kingdom. For more information, head to audaciouschurch.com and join us live at 10 a.m, 12 and 5:30 p.m. every Sunday, either in person or via our web stream.